You are listening to an American Free Press podcast.
Joining me on the line is Dr. Kevin Barrett. Dr. Barrett, thanks for joining us today.
Hey, it's good to be with you.
Would you prefer Dr. Barrett or Kevin?
Kevin's fine.
Okay, great. Kevin, I saw something just recently, actually, it was in American Free Press newspaper, about the Million American March Against Fear on 9/11, of course, 9/11/13. I want to get into that in great detail in a moment, but before we do, for the benefit of the listeners, can you give them a little bit of background about who you are?
I have a background in literary studies in a bunch of different areas, starting with English literature, moving on to French, African, and finally Arabic. And I also taught Islamic studies. My PhD was done studying Sufism and Sufi saints legends in Morocco. So that Middle Eastern background in Arabic and Islamic studies was what got me some background information about 9/11. And then, you know, a couple of years after that happened, I saw the evidence that it was an inside job and decided to do some research and activism on that topic and had some success. And in 2006, I was witch hunted by local politicians in Wisconsin around that issue. I was the evil conspiracy professor who was brainwashing these poor innocent students with my horrible theories. So I fought back on Fox News and was pretty saturated in the media for a while. So that moved me out of the academic career because suddenly I became toxic. Donors were canceling donations. Government funds were in jeopardy. So if you hire me, you're going to lose money. And that's not a good way to get hired at universities. So I've been doing independent journalism and writing books and working at a nonprofit ever since.
And I see here that, and this is something to be very proud of, and as I've said it before to people who have also been recognized by this organization, I'm very jealous. The Anti-Defamation League has named you one of the key figures promoting anti-Semitic 9/11 conspiracy theories. Do you know about that?
Yeah, it's funny how they think that it's anti-Semitic to notice that a bunch of the people that were involved in 9/11 were Zionists, and many of them of the Jewish ethnicity, and that the biggest winner from 9/11 was the hardline faction of Zionists. If you notice that, they think you must be a bigot, but all the people who are falsely claiming that Arabs and Muslims did 9/11 apparently are not bigots. I don't quite understand the logic of that because there's overwhelming evidence that the 19 guys that they blamed for 9/11 were not even Muslims. They were whatever they were, I don't know, but the guy they said was Ada in Florida spoke fluent Hebrew. His favorite food was pork chops. These 19 guys were gamblers, prostitute fanciers. They flew to gambling junkets in Las Vegas. They gambled on Abramoff's casino boats. They were smuggling drugs for some kind of organized criminals there that had CIA links in Florida, yet were constantly told in the mainstream media that Arabs and Muslims did 9/11. And calling these guys Muslims is a slur to Islam. But in fact, there isn't even any evidence that these 19 guys were on the planes. In fact, all of the evidence that would have been produced if these 19 non-Muslims, these 19 anti-Muslims were on the plane, has never been shown. We've never seen any official passenger lists. The unofficial ones that were released had no Arab names on them. We've never seen any ticket stubs. There's been not one shred of eyewitness testimony from any of the airline employees who would have ticketed and boarded these guys if they were actually on the planes. The families of these guys have demanded DNA testing to show that they were on the planes, and the U.S. government has refused to do that. DNA evidence has been produced about these alleged passengers, but none of the alleged hijackers have ever been DNA identified. They're the only people who were told were on the planes that were not. So overall, it's obvious that A, the 19 so-called hijackers were not Muslims, and number two, they were not even on any of these alleged planes. And yet, Abe Foxman over at the ADL says that if you mention the fact that Larry Silverstein, for example, who does happen to be Jewish and a close friend of Netanyahu, confessed to demolishing Building 7 and then walked off with $750,000 in insurance money on that building, as well as billions more on the other white elephant buildings of the World Trade Center, you're supposedly a bigot. So I don't know. I think the ADL is more of a propaganda organization for the hard right extremist segment of Israeli power than it is actually an organization that fights bigotry.
Yeah, very well said. It's amazing how they've been able to pull this off for now going on, of course, 12 years of lying. And the evidence doesn't seem to make much difference to your average person, I guess. But then again, you brought up Silverstein, and I don't know if you saw the latest American Free Press or AmericanFreePress.net, the story is up there on the website, but there is a story that I wrote about Silverstein and Wikipedia. Did you happen to see that?
I don't think I did.
Okay, well, what happened was that I was doing some research and found out that Silverstein, the part about Silverstein admitting that the Building 7, WTC 7, was demolished, which obviously he did very clearly, that wasn't in his Wikipedia entry. So being an editor of Wikipedia, I put it in there because I figured that people would like to know about that. It's important. And of course, it was pulled down almost immediately. I put it back up and this went back and forth about 10 times. And finally, they issued me my final warning, which was my first, and then they blocked me from editing. So this very important piece of information that would really change the minds of millions of people, because Wikipedia is such a huge site, I think the fifth largest in the world, according to Alexa, is purposefully removed, even though in just 20 seconds of Silverstein speaking on that PBS documentary, America Rebuilds, there can be no other explanation for it other than the building was controlled demolished.
Well, that's a good example of how Wikipedia is infiltrated by whoever these groups are that control the mainstream media discourse in the U.S. They've obviously got a chokehold on Wikipedia. I had a running battle with Wikipedia, and finally I just gave up because they had, I think at the last count, it was maybe 30 or 35 blatantly false items about me. Some of them were relatively harmless, you know, like, you know, when and where I was born and stuff like that. But a whole lot of the others, every single one of them that had a good or bad connotation had a bad connotation. So basically they had about 30 some lies, virtually all of which had some kind of bad connotation. They were trying to make me look worse than I am. And I tried to correct some of these things and was never able to. They were allowing these non-entities, people, to post stuff about themselves, tooting their own horn as they attacked me. And these are just anonymous people who have absolutely no presence even on the web. Some idiot under a false name at some blog posts, I'm a 9/11 truther and I don't like Kevin Barrett. And then that same person goes and posts, leading truther named Colonel Jenny doesn't like Kevin Barrett, which shows that he's unpopular in the truth movement. And of course, nobody's ever heard of this Colonel Jenny Sparks, I believe was the name. So she's tooting her own horn on my Wikipedia page, ranting about how great she is. And nobody's ever heard of her. One or two people who have think she's an idiot or a disinfo operative. And yet Wikipedia allows that. They allowed a whole bunch of really bizarre lies from some guy named Rabinowitz, who claimed that I was a supporter of so-called Holocaust deniers. This was at a time when I didn't know anything about the Holocaust issue. I hadn't even heard of, like, they had, I think, you know, Mark Green and Zundel. I didn't know anything about those guys at the time, but they claimed that I was a big supporter of these guys. Mm-hmm. And that wouldn't come down, even though it was just a piece that some idiot named Rabinowitz put up on his blog somewhere that gets no traffic. So I tried to correct these things and never could. And actually, that experience got me interested in the, okay, why are they smearing me as a so-called Holocaust denier when I've never done anything with that issue? Right. So I started reading these guys, and pretty soon I realized that, wow, this is actually interesting. The people they're calling Holocaust deniers actually have a good point about some of these issues. It's certainly a very real issue that should be debated. And this has led me to realize that the propaganda apparatus is playing these same kinds of themes and issues over and over and over, like the mighty Wurlitzer that they talk about. Mm-hmm. And for the same reason that they call you a bigot if you talk about Silverstein and Netanyahu obviously being involved in 9/11, they also bring in this whole Holocaust thing to try and smear anybody who is telling the truth about these issues related to Israel and Zionism. It's very, very interesting to run head-on into this propaganda machine. And one thing I discovered as a 9/11 truther was that you can talk about Americans being involved in 9/11 all you want, and, you know, you'll get some funny looks and they won't help you out. But the minute that you start talking about the Zionist element, which I think is probably the most important element in 9/11, then they come after you with all guns blazing. So here in the USA, the type of free speech we have is actually freer when it comes to criticizing our own government. But if you say anything bad about the Israelis or their American supporters, they will come after you and shoot you down.
It's something that has to change. And of course, I love that saying, whoever it's attributed to learn who rules over you, simply find out who you're not allowed to criticize.
That's Voltaire. Yeah, that's a great quote.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And incidentally, I interviewed the New Jersey police officer who arrested those five dancing Israelis. And this point about Wikipedia and the whole thing about the propaganda machine, you're right, it is very interesting. And I think that if this was uncovered more and discovered and elaborated upon more, that it will go a long way to helping people understand exactly who was responsible for this 9/11. And thank you for explaining that. And thank you for doing what you're doing out there in the cause for educating people. Now, this Million American March Against Fear on 9/11, who came up with the idea?
Actually, that idea has been floating around for a while. there is an activist in the Muslim community named Anissa Abdel Fattah, and she's a very good person, very brave, unlike most people out there, Muslim or non-Muslim. So she was floating the idea of a million Muslim march. She imagined a million people going to Washington, D.C. and holding signs saying, hey, we're Muslims and we didn't do this. And we're not even sure that the people they claim did it actually did it. So that was the original idea. She came up with that and I talked with her, but she didn't really have the means to organize it. This was years ago. But then this past year, MD Alam, who is a Democratic Party activist in Kansas City, Missouri, founded the American Muslim Political Action Committee, or AMPAC. And that idea got revived, and we kind of tossed it around and said, yeah, let's do some kind of million Muslim march and, you know, see if we can get Louis Farrakhan involved and people like that. Well, by last February, we had gotten a lot of feedback, mostly from non-Muslims who wanted to join us and said, why should this be a million Muslim march? You know, everybody lost their constitutional freedoms on 9/11. All kinds of people have been victimized. Yeah, sure, the majority of people killed as a result of 9/11 have been Muslims, more than a million, but we've all been victimized. So let's get rid of this idea that it's just Muslims, and let's have everybody out there mourning all of the victims of 9/11 and working to restore the Constitution. So in February, we renamed this the Million American March Against Fear, which has been the project ever since. We're opposing the politics of fear and standing, you know, with the slogan, United in Courage, because obviously 9/11 was the big event that initiated a new era in which the politics of fear would rule us. And they've terrorized Americans about terrorism. And in fact, the odds that you're going to die from a terrorist attack are a lot less than getting hit by lightning or drowning in your bathtub. Statistically, terrorism is not a significant threat, even if you imagine that 9/11 was really an attack by foreign terrorists, which it wasn't. But even if it was, you're still in more danger from bathtubs and lightning bolts. So this media propaganda campaign that has terrorized Americans about terrorism in general and Muslims in particular is probably the worst example of a literally a criminal propaganda campaign that has ever existed in history. Assuming the official version of the Holocaust is correct, and even if it isn't, I mean, we know that terrible things did happen to a whole lot of relatively innocent people in Nazi Germany. We're always told that Dr. Goebbels was, you know, this horrible Nazi propagandist who, you know, was responsible for all these atrocities. Well, Dr. Goebbels is a small-time piker compared to these neocons who used 9/11 to destroy the Constitution, to launch a wave of mass murder around the world that's taken the lives of well over a million people and ruined the lives of probably tens of millions by now. Mm-hmm. You know, this is the worst crime against humanity ever perpetrated. And it's all based on this politics of fear, of making people fear each other, of dividing people and conquering people through fear. So we're saying, let's unite in courage. That's the antidote to this era of the politics of fear. And it's interesting that Fox News and these other neocon propaganda outlets have been characterizing this Million American March Against Fear as a so-called Million Muslim March, and they're trying to scare people. The evil, scary, boogeyman Muslims are coming to Washington, D.C. on September 11th. Run for your lives.
Right.
And we're going on there and explain, no, you're lying. It's not a Million Muslim March. That idea was canceled last February. It's the Million American March. The majority of participants will not be Muslims. The featured keynote speaker, a very respectable and pretty mainstream guy named Cornel West, he's probably the best known American university professor and maybe our best known public intellectual, is going to be leading the march, and it's the keynote speaker. He's not Muslim. This is about uniting all kinds of people and rejecting this divide and conquer campaign and the politics of fear and trying to put an end to this post 9/11 fascism that has ruled us through fear. It's time to put that behind us and try and get our Constitution back.
Oh, God, that would be nice. Now, you converted to Islam, you said?
Yeah, I came to Islam in 1993. I was born in a family of lapsed Unitarians, which is pretty lapsed. The theology in Unitarianism actually is about the same as the theology in Islam. In both cases, the teaching is that Jesus was a great prophet, and those teachings are what the message of Christ is really all about, is we should follow those teachings and be like him, and also the same for all the other prophets, including Moses and Muhammad. And Unitarianism basically sees it that way, you know, one God, not three. Jesus's teachings are what are important, not this image of him dying horribly on the cross. To me, this just is kind of an obvious, sensible correction. So once I looked into it and discovered that Islam was this vibrant monotheism, which actually has all of the good parts of Christianity and Judaism and Middle Eastern monotheism in general, and kind of gets rid of the really crazy negative parts, it was very appealing to me. And you know, there's kind of a biographical story behind how all this happened, which I won't go into right now. But the long story short is that I came to Islam in 1993, got a PhD in Arabic and Islamic studies so I could figure out what I'd gotten myself into, and was just finishing up that PhD in time to learn that 9/11 was an inside job and that they were murdering millions of Muslims based on this false story. So I've been speaking out and working on that issue ever since.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting because I was wondering about Islam or Muslims in the United States and the murder rate. Are you familiar with that? Like, for example, in Dearborn, Michigan, is the murder rate a lot higher?
No, actually, in the U.S., the crime rate among Muslims tends to be pretty low. I believe it's quite a bit lower than the average. I can't give you the perfect, you know, exact statistics about it. The American Muslim community is sort of divided into two components. The biggest component would be African-American Muslims. You know, one third of the slaves brought to America were Muslims, and then they were not allowed to practice their religion, so it sort of went underground and they lost a lot of the formal side of it. But then it resurfaced in the form of these kinds of slightly weird syncretic versions of Islam, like, well, the Nation of Islam began that way. And now more and more African Americans are finding their way back to the real sort of traditional Islam. And in the African American community, Islam is associated with good law-abiding behavior. The single biggest predictor for non-recidivism among prisoners is conversion to Islam in prison. So wow. Anything they do in prison, whether it's rehabilitation programs or learning how to get a job, skills, education, conversion to any religion, of all of these factors, conversion to Islam in prison has the most noticeable contribution to preventing recidivism. And Islam in the African-American community has transformed innumerable lives for the better and is associated with ending drug use, alcoholism, and other social pathologies, instituting very strong marriages, and putting an emphasis on education. So in Detroit, yeah, there's a high murder rate in Detroit, but it isn't the fault of Islam. In fact, if we could just convert Detroit to Islam, that would pretty much put an end to that murder rate.
That's what I was thinking. I was looking for statistics. Of course, our good friends in the mainstream media, I'm sure they're not going to be publicizing this point.
And I forgot to mention the foreign element, or rather the immigrants, are the other major component of the Islamic community here. And American Muslim immigrants from other countries tend to be highly educated. They're doctors, engineers, scientists. The low end, they maybe would be real estate brokers, but they tend to be the sort of high-end, upper-middle class of the countries they come from. And So the crime rate and social pathology rate in those communities is very, very low as well.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. When does it kick off and exactly where?
It's going to be on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. I'm thinking it's between 12th and 13th streets, but I better pull up those exact streets just to make sure I've got them right. This only got set, no, 13th and 14th. Okay, so it's on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. between 13th and 14th streets. It begins at noon on September 11th, and then somewhere a little bit after 2 o'clock, people will be marching to Congress and the White House. So it should be quite an event.
Mm-hmm. And that's, of course, a Wednesday, right?
That's right.
So folks interested in it can go to the website. And what is that website?
That is ampac.us, which is ampac.us.
Are you folks taking any donations, or is this just an event where you just want people to show up and show their solidarity?
Well, donations would be great. You know, we're doing it on a shoestring, and we've lucked out because Fox News attacked us, which gave us a bunch of publicity. But, you know, we're doing this on practically nothing, so donations would be appreciated. Just by contacting us through the ampac.us webpage, AMPAC, that would be the place to go. And there's also a guy named Chris who is doing great work on the ground in Washington, D.C. His group is called March Against Drones. So if people can search the web and find out how to contribute to March Against Drones, he would appreciate that as well.
And do you have any idea what the turnout's going to be?
I really don't know. When we originally planned this, we thought we'd be lucky to get 500 people. You know, who knows? At this point, we could get a lot more. Cornel West is very well known, and we are running around to all of the peace churches and the anti-Syrian war demonstrations in D.C. trying to get the word out. So, now, I don't know, but I think we easily could be into the four figures.
Wow, that'd be great. I know American Free Press is going to be there. Kevin Barrett, I want to thank you so much for the time you took out explaining all this to the listeners. Thank you for doing what you're doing for truth, and thank you for organizing this Million American March, and I hope it goes off exactly as you would like it to.
Well, thanks, Dave. I appreciate it. And I appreciate the great work you're doing at AFP, one of our few real newspapers.
America's last real newspaper. Thank you, Kev.
Okay, thank you.